Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, worship team. We are finishing up our series here on the paramount pedagogies of Paul and the most important teachings of Paul. Important only because we've identified some of Paul's prayers, and in your prayers for an individual, you generally pray those things that are most on your heart for them. And so Paul prayed some things very specifically for the church. And so we are focusing on four of those prayers through this series. And we started off with the first week of the series talking about the power of God through the Holy Spirit for believers. And that that it is available to us, and that there's so much more that we can do than what maybe we realize. And that our prayers need to be big and specific and not just small and generic, as if, you know, you don't even know if God answers your prayer. And then in the second week of the series, we talked about sharing our faith. Being the kind of people that realize that God said to go into all the nations, and that even includes our neighbors or within our own families, and share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We talked about different ways to do that. Some people are very open and direct. Other people are maybe a little bit more introvert when it comes to the way that they share, but that each of us needs to be able to share. Whether it's directly talking about Christ, whether it's serving someone as a result of Christ and letting kind of that testimony live through. But one of the things that we talked about that we all could do is inviting someone to a place or to something where they hear about the hope of Christ, where you have found some inspiration. And so on February 5th, we have kind of designated that Sunday, Save a Seat Sunday, inviting somebody that is not currently attending church to come to church with you. And so we know this is going to be a big challenge for many of you. We trust that God will put somebody on your hearts to be able to invite and ask them to be a part of this. And what we're going to do that Sunday, we promise not to embarrass you. We promise to have a lot of fun and help people see that there is something great and something hopeful and something good about a church community. And so we really want to make that Sunday. Now, you might think, well, how am I going to remember it's February 5th? February 5th is what? Super Bowl Sunday. So that's how you'll know. It's on Super Bowl Sunday. That's the morning that we're going to do this. We're going to have a great time together. So we invite you to do that. Now, last week, we talked about unity. Paul prayed that the church would be united. Certainly us and our congregation here, that we need to be united. And as we work together, as we are united together, we can do more together than we can individually. But it wasn't just for our own congregation, but to be united with all of the body of Christ, all churches of different denominations and tribes that identify as Christ being their way to salvation, that their hope is in Jesus Christ, and that all other things are secondary issues, and not get caught up in how we're different, but to focus on what we can do together. So throughout our city and throughout our world, that Jesus, his kind of process for this was to say that, you know, that the world will know that God sent him through the unity of the church. And then John, of course, went on to say that they will know, the world will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. Not even our love for them, but our love for one another will prove that Christ sent us and that we are his body. So we want to be that united group. And so that was our challenge last week. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of God's purpose and plan and will and direction for our lives. The prayer that Paul prayed in this, because this was a big deal for him, to be praying for us to know and understand God's will. He prayed this prayer in a letter that he wrote to the church in Philippi. And the Philippians were definitely people that needed to understand that God had a plan and a purpose for them. So let's listen to Paul's prayer.
So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish, and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and the praise of God.
Have you ever played the game Hot and Cold? uh-oh, that is the worst game on planet Earth. Hot and cold. Especially if you've been the recipient of the one who has to play hot and cold. In my life, it's generally happened where, you know, you're taking a shower and then someone has stolen your towel. Hey, we're going to play hot and cold. Or, you know, you're at some swimming hole and someone steals your shorts. The way hot and cold is played is you basically make someone your victim. You steal some item of importance to them, and then it's time for them to find the item that they so desperately need. They don't want to play your game, but in order to get their item, they'll have to play your game. And so it's hot and cold. You get to wander around looking for your item with no hope or no help along the way. And as you walk along, they say things like, colder, colder, which means you're farther away from your object, because apparently when you get close to it, you get hot. And so then you'll walk another way, and they'll say, warmer, warmer, and you keep going thinking it's going to be hotter, and then they go, nope, colder, colder. And then you just wander aimlessly around looking for this item, hot and cold, hot and cold. And as I have talked to people about their own spiritual journeys, people seem to use kind of a hot and cold mentality or reference for talking about what God's plan or purpose for their life is. As if God is keeping it a secret from you, and then you just aimlessly wander through life looking to see if you're hot or cold, and maybe you'll get it and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll figure out what God's plan is for you, and maybe you'll never figure it out, and too bad for you. Do you get that sense when it comes to God's plan for your life? And I'm not talking about like our global plan, like God's plan for humanity. I mean specifically that God created you, had you born at a specific time, at a certain place, in a certain family, and that all of the details, that he has a plan that is specific for your life that is as unique as a fingerprint, and nobody else has that exact same plan, purpose, direction for existence. Do you know what yours is? Sometimes we get this feeling like I have to be like ultra spiritual, right? And like somehow this will be revealed to me. And if I'm not ultra spiritual, then I'll never know what God's plan is, perfect, unique, special plan is for me. It can be a bit of a challenge. I want you to know today that by the end of the service today, you are going to know God's exact, specific, perfect, unique plan for your life individually. Think I can do it? I don't mean, and the plan God has for you is completely different from the person sitting across from you. This is just for you. So that is my goal today. So we'll see how I do by the end of this. But today I want you to know that you can know God's specific plan for your life. And the odds of finding it are not even one in a million. I am saying there is a chance that you can discover this here and now today. To kind of get us kicked off and thinking in the right direction, have you ever been on a road trip before? Do you know what a road trip is? What are some good road trip movies out there now that we're kind of in the Christmas movie kind of theme? What are good road trip movies? What's it? Elf? Okay. Yeah, because he's on a journey. I think, what's that narwhal say? Hope you find your dad or whatever it is. Yeah. Other road trip movies. Vacation. Great one. Are we there yet? Yeah, that's a perphect one. Oh, man, that's one of the best. How about them bears? Yeah, great, great movie. Yeah, there's all kinds of great ones. Thelma and Louise comes to mind. Movies like Tommy Boy. If you've ever seen Tommy Boy, man, that is probably one of my most favorite. But my very favorite is Dumb and Dumber. Yes, Dumb and Dumber is one of the best road trip. Well, I'm not going to explain it to you. Watch it. Here's part of their road trip. Still having sound problems?
Say, are you guys going to Davenport? My car died and I'm late for a luncheon.
We usually don't pick up hitchhikers. But I'm gonna go with my instinct on this one.
Saddle up, partner. You're it. You're it. You're it. Quincy's!
Any Quincy's?
You're it, Quincy's. No, any Quincy's, no starts.
You can't do that.
Can't do.
Cannot. Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases.
Tough blue maker. No, no, no. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd! You
guys! Enough!
Hey, wanna hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys! Guys!
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird, don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing,
don't sing,
she's gonna buy me a diamond ring.
Right, for those of you that are completely confused right now, you've got to get out more, all right? Because Dumb and Dumber is by far the best road trip movie. But when it comes to road trips, do you know the difference between a road trip and a destination trip? There is a vastly different difference between them. A destination trip is what we're most used to. That is, we're going from point A to point B, okay? A road trip is more of a journey. Destination, point A to point B, as quickly, as efficiently, and as inexpensively as you can possibly do it. In a destination trip, point A to point B, you drive through the night, you eat in a car, you pee in an empty Gatorade bottle. Do you guys not do that? Must just be our family. But, you know, not everybody does that. But the goal is just to get there as quick as possible. No stops or as little as possible. A road trip, though, is not even recognizable to a destination trip. A road trip many times doesn't even have a destination in mind. It's about the journey of being on the road with each other, experiencing whatever the road brings your way. If you have never been on a road trip, you are seriously missing out because road trips are the best. A road trip is about stopping and smelling the roses. I mean, especially if the roses are like the largest ball of twine in America or, you know, the Jolly Green Giant in Blue Earth. If you've never been there, you just whiz by on 90, you got to stop and see these things. The journey, the road trip, is about the eating at the greasy diners. It's about the roadside attractions. It's about meeting strange people. It's about experiencing what is on the road wherever you happen to be. It's about the road less traveled. It's slow. It's unscripted. And I would argue that it's some of the best memories that you can get are on the road trip. The whole problem with the idea of the will of God and what His will is or His specific plan for your life is that we look at God's plan for our life like a destination trip. We think of it like we're at point A and we have to get to point B. And we want to get there as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So when we look at our faith journey, we're thinking of it as a destination. But the problem is that the journey of faith is not a destination. It is about a road trip. It's about experiencing things each day along the way without necessarily pointing to or focusing on the end destination. We certainly know that in the end, our hope is heaven. Our hope is eternal life in Christ. But here on earth, it's not about the destination, but about the journey that we're on. That's the focus that we need to have. It's about discovery, not just obtaining something. It's about being, and it's about experiencing. It doesn't mean that there aren't practical steps when you go on this road trip of faith, because there are things that you need to do. But we need to understand that it's the journey that's valuable when it comes to our faith and not the future destination. That's not what our focus is to be. So I want to take a few moments here this morning to look at maybe some things that we should pack or some things that we should have or ways to prepare to have a successful road trip of faith. Though road trips, I think, are best when they're unscripted, and I think your faith journey in many ways is unscripted, you should still have some idea of the road you're going to travel on. Even the most unscripted of road trips still have an idea of the road that they're going to travel on. For example, if you decide, hey, let's road trip Australia, and you get on a plane, you land there, you rent whatever car you can get, and you just start heading off across Australia, that road trip might be your funeral march. Because you may die of dehydration. You may get lost and never be found. You may be bitten by one of their brown snakes that they have that kills a lot of people there in Australia. You have to at least know something about the place, the culture, the aspects of the place you're going to do your road trip on. And the same thing is with our faith. I would argue that the best guide or the best piece of information or the best tool you can have to understand this road trip of faith is going to be the Scriptures, the Bible itself. It is a basic guide to the journey of faith. The Bible tells stories of fellow travelers, fellow road trippers. It speaks of the pitfalls along the way. It talks about, you know, the next service stations that you can get gas at, or the best diners, or the coolest roadside attractions of your faith. The Scripture is filled with examples of what the road trip looks like for different individuals along the way. The Scriptures do not tell you the exact road you need to be on. It's not about a destination, but it's about a journey that you're on. So depending on whether you've taken the high road or the low road in life, the Scriptures will still point out where God is, what He's up to, and what the journey is on whatever road you have found yourself on. So, for starters, I would say if you're interested in this journey of faith, the first thing you need to do is this. You need to walk with God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." He'll show you which road you need to be on or how you need to engage the road that you're currently on. It's not in seeking God that we discover the road we need to be on, but it's in seeking God we discover that God is with us in whatever road we find ourselves on. The Bible is the resource, not so much for how to live, but the Bible is the best resource for who God is. Okay, let me repeat that, because that's really important. The Bible is not so much a resource for how to live, but on who God is. Obviously, you can learn from the Scriptures how God wants you to live. I'm not saying that's not in there. That's filled within there. But the Bible does not speak to every single human condition. Some people try to say that it does. It does not. It doesn't speak to every cultural situation that may come up in one generation to another generation. But within the pages of the Scripture, you will discover who God is, how God works with His people, regardless of time and culture. And you'll learn what God's heart beats for. These are the things you find within the pages of the Scripture. Now, once you start getting into Scripture, and I would encourage you that if you want to start on this journey of faith and you want to know what God's plan and will for your life is, you have to have a regular time of reading Scripture. I would encourage it to be every day. And you can start anywhere in the Scripture. Some people like to start from Genesis and move forward. That's a tougher way to go about it because you're going to hit pretty quickly right off some tough Old Testament books to go through. Some people like to start in the New Testament. That's great. You're going to hear the same story four times in a row with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you were going to just read one gospel and start there, I would say Mark. That is a great one. It's short. There's a lot of miracles along the way. It's a great story. But wherever you start, it's about reading and digesting this on a regular basis. To walk with God, you're going to have to hear. You're going to have a regular input of information. With that, it's not just reading for content or to get through it, but it's devotional, which means prayer has to be a part of it. So like when I read the scriptures, I read and I spend time in prayer. Sometimes it's prayer and what God is trying to show me or tell me in a passage. I don't hear God's voice. Some people ask me that. You know, Pastor, like, how do I know? Like, how can I hear God? Do I have to be spiritual or some level of spirituality and I'll actually hear God's voice? I don't hear it. You know, he doesn't write on the wall. I don't have a blank sheet of paper and then he just fills it out for me. For me, hearing God, it looks a little more like this. I may be reading something and praying about that. Maybe I'm praying about a certain situation in my life and I stop talking or I stop my active praying for the item and I wait. And sometimes it's a discipline of listening in some way. And as I listen, ideas come to me that I believe come from God. I think that's how he speaks to me most of the time. The thing is that the ideas that come, I can tell are not mine, and they're not things that are worldly things, but they are definitely things that are spiritual things that I struggle with. So, like, there may be a person I'm having a problem with, someone that I think has offended me in some way, and I'm praying about it, and all of a sudden, I get from God this idea that I need to pray for this person. Or God will give me this idea, you need to help this person or serve this person or do something kind to them in some way. That is not what I want to do. In fact, when it comes to praying for people that have done me wrong, I want to pray that like a piano falls on their head. I don't want to pray for them for goodness. I don't want to pray for them that you know, that they'll see God's goodness and they'll experience blessing today because they've wronged me in some way. And when those kinds of thoughts come in, I know they're from God. And so I lean into those things. So walking with God is ingesting a regular dose of his word, his kind of guidepost for life, and at the same time talking to him about those things and what's going on in your life. This is how we walk with God. That's a basic kind of framework, but that's basically what it is we walk with him in this way. Now, once you're walking with God, you're going to discover that something kind of, it's really supernatural takes place. Because you're walking with God, reading the scriptures, praying, and all of a sudden, things within you start to change. And it's not an effort on your part. It's a byproduct of walking with God in a true and honest way. You start to want to do life differently. That's different how you're currently doing it. Sometimes it catches you off guard. And I would say that if I was going to try and put this in a phrase, I would say that once you're walking with God, you then start to surrender your will to God's will. That there's this letting go of the way I want to do things and this sense that I want to do things the way God wants to. It's not a force of my will, but it seems to be more natural. I just all of a sudden start to want to do things a little differently. You start to desire goodness and mercy. And again, it's not an effort on your part. It's just a byproduct. You start to see the world through the eyes that want to help and to serve and to love other people. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens in stages. But it really doesn't take a lot of effort on your part. It's just a byproduct of being plugged in to walking with God, spending time with him. It's a byproduct of this devotional life that you have. Now, I don't mean that it's always easy to follow through on those things that you're urged to do. That's where it's an active step into that. But you start to desire things you didn't desire before. You start to act differently than you used to. It might be language that you use. All of a sudden, you feel like you don't want to talk a certain way and you want to talk a different way. You will have a different vocabulary all of a sudden inside you that you desire to use. You don't know where it comes from, but it's a byproduct of a healthy devotional life. It could be subject matter that you talk about. It could be your choice of entertainment that you have. It could be the types of food or drinks that you consume. It could be about changes in the people that you desire to spend time with. It would be both your public and your private activities. All of a sudden, there's a change and a transformation that starts to take place. In fact, in Romans 12:2 here, it says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If you do this," it says, "then you will learn to know God's" what? "Will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." That's what his will is, good, pleasing, and perfect. This is the point, though, where many Christians get stuck and they stop here. I have engaged Christ. I've had this devotional life. I've had a moment that has just transformed me. I have walked with God. I'm on this journey and road trip of faith, not sure where it's going, but loving every moment of it. And then we start to get a little further along in the journey, and we start to get to this point where we sense God wanting us to do some things differently. And sometimes we respond positively, and other times we start to ignore those things, and we just kind of keep going a way that we think is good. And it doesn't take long before all of a sudden we find ourselves looking for a Christian destination and no longer excited, submissive, or enjoying the journey of faith. And now it becomes, I'm at point A here and I need to get to point B, and we start to map it out. And not only for ourselves, but we start to map it out for others. We become judgmental. You're not where you need to be. You're here and you need to go there. It becomes destination focused. We can then kind of lose this living in the Spirit, and it can become our rules that we set up. You know, I just have to do these rules. If I do these rules, somehow I'll end up where I need to be. It loses life. It becomes rule-based. It becomes drill-based. It becomes, you know, event-focused instead of journey kind of focus. And these aren't the things I think that God wants for us. This is us trying to take control back on the road trip, instead of letting God have his direction in what it is that he wants to do in and through us. We wonder what we're going to become. We wonder what the destination is. And the focus becomes that instead of just letting go and being a part of the journey. It's normal questions for destination drivers to want to know what the end goal is. But questions about the destination are annoyances for road trippers. Because if you're on a road trip, the worst question someone could ever ask in your vehicle is what? Are we there yet? My goodness. No, we're not there yet because there's not even a there. We don't know where there is. It's about where we are at this moment on the road. There's no destination. There's no endpoint to this thing. You know, we don't know if we're going to run out of money today or in a week from now, but we're on a road trip, and whatever comes our way, we're going to deal with it and enjoy every second of it. Road trippers, or people that are on a road trip, don't have destinational focuses, but if we can get sidetracked on this journey of faith, this road trip of faith, and just start focusing on the destination, and that we can't do. That is not going to get us where we need to go. If we don't lean into this surrendering ourselves to God and whatever his plan and journey is, we lose the joy of being with God and seeing the changes within us. We expect to become something in the form of a destination. And at this point, we either force something and make our faith become something that we have fabricated or designed off the small input that we've already had so far in our journey. You say, okay, I know what it looks like. Now I'm just going to take what I've learned so far and I'm going to turn it into a destination, and it becomes fake, becomes forced. This is what I must become. I put on a fake face. I put on a fake smile. I say I need to be happy in all terrible circumstances and no matter what, and I just put on this fake smile. But I know deep down inside I'm dead and I'm no longer journeying and I'm no longer experiencing. I've just become something, trying to force myself to believe something that I no longer believe. I try and force myself to believe something that I no longer experience. I try to force myself to say that this faith journey is a journey that I want to be on, and the truth is I don't want to be on it. Because it's become a painful destination that I never seem to reach. And the blessing and the mystery and the grace and the wildness and the craziness of the road trip I've pulled out of. I've decided to say, are we there yet? This isn't what God wants from us. And so how do we keep this from happening? How do we keep active? We walk with God, and then we surrender ourselves to him. How do we keep in that surrender place and just let him take the reins? I would say we do this one thing. One thing. If any of you have watched City Slickers, you know what I'm talking about. One thing, Curly said. This one thing. And I want you to know today that if you do this one thing, the moment you do it, you will know exactly, specifically, what God's unique fingerprint, plan, and purpose for your life is and why he put you on this earth. And that is available to you this very moment. Do you want to know what the one thing is? Curious? The one thing is this. If you want to know God's perfect, unique plan for your life, it's found in the next decision you have to make. And no further. Look at it this way. Have you ever been in a maze? And I mean in a maze. Like a hedge maze, a corn maze, but no map, okay? That's a cheater out here on Highway 11. They give you a map. That's no fun. I'm talking a full-on maze where you don't get to see anything except the walls next to you, and you come up and you go right, left, or straight. How do you make a decision where to go in a maze like that? It is full-on guesswork. You have no idea. You've never seen this maze. You don't know if this maze is 100 feet long or 100 miles long. You don't know if you're going to the center or out the other side. You don't know if the exit is right or left, and you don't know if you turn right if that means you're actually going to end up going left. You have no idea. There's no way to make a choice. Sometimes we think our faith journey is that way, and discovering God's plan for our life as if we're some mouse in a maze and it's just wandering around, and maybe you'll hit it and maybe you won't. But I want you to know that it is like a maze, but this is the difference. When you get to the cross point of right, left, or straight, God will tell you the direction at that moment. I promise you this. All you have to worry about is one turn, one moment, just there. If you're walking with God, if you're surrendering to Him, I promise you that when you get to a point of decision, God will tell you right, left, or straight. And all you have to do is go right, left, or straight as He leads you to. And if you do, do you know what path you're on? The exact perfect path you need to be on. But what's the next turn and the next turn and the next turn? Because there's going to be 1,000 or 1,000,000 of these. I don't know what the destination is. How do I know where to go? You only need to know the next turn. And the rest will continue to take care of themselves as you follow one step at a time. Let me show you. You have a friend. You're sitting, you're talking, and your friend is really struggling. If you've been walking with God, you're spending time in His Word, you're in prayer, and you're trying to just surrender yourself to God, as you sit with that friend, I promise you, God is going to put something on your heart. I don't know what it is. It's going to be unique for you and your friend, but it's very specific. It's different than it would be for me with sitting with my friend than it is with you sitting with your friend. But it may be something like God will say and just impress upon your heart, pray for this person right now. Sometimes we pray for this person right now out loud. Ask them if you can pray for them. Whatever it is, all you have to do is obey that one thing. When you obey just that one thing, you are on the exact path of your life that God wants you to be on. Or you can reject it. Then you're on the other path. Good luck with that one. Just one moment. Just one decision at this one time. Do the thing that God called you to do here. You're stressed out. You have beaten your battle with alcohol. But the day has been unbelievable. And you're coming home from work, and you're getting ready to drive by that place where you always used to stop and get a drink. And you're coming up to it, what do you do? For just this one decision, you don't have to worry about all the future decisions. Just right here, right now, today, you don't stop. You are exactly where God needs you to be when you don't stop. Yeah, tomorrow you might go through the same pressure again and have to choose not to stop that day. But you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You only have this one moment. Do well in this one moment, you're exactly where God wants you to be, on the perfect plan, the perfect place, in His perfect will. Just one decision, just one thing you have to do. The next time, yeah, there's another decision to make down the line, but for now, that's just the one you need to make. You know God's plan is for purity for you, to stay pure in your life, but you're with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and they're smoking hot. What do? Just one decision in that one moment. Yeah, there may be other pressures down the line at other times, but all it is just one decision at this one moment. Maybe you're tired. You say, today I don't want to do my devotions. I didn't do them all day today. I just don't want to do it. I'm tired. One decision. Right, left, straight. Do well in that one decision. You find yourself in God's will. Maybe you're driving along. You see a car pulled over with the hazards on. What's God calling you to do in that moment? I believe that if you have the skill sets to help that person, God will put on your heart to stop. And somehow you're going to have the exact right tool, the right, Maybe you experience the same thing in your car. It's amazing how God lines these things up. And you show up and they say, this is happening. You're like, oh yeah, I had that same problem like a week ago. I paid $700 for my mechanic to fix it. You just plug this thing in. Let me help you. And you help them. Or maybe God calls you to stop and you're like, I have zero mechanical abilities. But their cell phone's dead and they need a call. You've got a cell phone, you make the call. Or maybe God says, you are going to be no help in this situation. Pray for them as you drive by. And that's what it is. But what's God calling in that moment? And how do you respond to it? Because if you respond to it, you will find yourself in the exact place where God needs you to be. You're struggling with your spouse. You're in a conversation. What's that moment? Maybe it's with your kids. Difficult situation. What's God calling you in that one moment? In every single situation, I promise you that if you're walking with God and you're submitting to Him, He will tell you to go right, left, or straight every single time. And His plan will be a series of a million different choices. But you don't need to know one of them except the one that's in front of you. It's the only one that matters. And after that one, another one will soon follow. But this one is the only one that matters. If you would have asked me 35 years ago, do you think you'll ever be a pastor living in South Dakota? Holy smokes, no way. If you talk to people that I hung out with in high school, they would just, I mean, they would, their mouths would drop open. I had no plans to be a pastor. Do you know how I became a pastor in South Dakota? I did not wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'd like to be a pastor in South Dakota, and then plan out my life. I had no planning. But there was a point in time where God, I came to a crossroads and God said, go right. And I went right. And I came to the next one, He said, go left. And I came to the next one, He said, go straight. And then another right and another right and a left and a right and a left and a right and a straight. And all of a sudden, I found myself here. I didn't plan it. But it was God's plan and will for my life. But all I had to do was obey each one little step. And in the end, you find yourself exactly where God called you to be. It's no more mysterious than that. It's no more difficult than that. You see, God's perfect and pleasing will for you and all the blessings that He has planned and has in store for you are found in your next choice. So I ask you this today, what do you choose? What do you choose today? You see, God's ultimate concern is not to get you or me from point A to point B along the quickest and the easiest and the smoothest, clearest route possible. Instead, His ultimate concern is that you and I would know Him deeply and trust Him more completely. Our lives are designed for the journey, not for the destination. We're wired for journey. Love and relationship are not destinations, are they? Love is a journey. Relationships are journeys. They're not destinations. This is how we're wired. It's how we're made. It's how we're designed. And it also is where we find value. We find value in journeys, not in destinations. You see, we're called into relationship with Jesus. We are called to His person, not His instruction. He is more Savior to us than sergeant. It's not about the drills. It's about the person. The goal of the disciple of Jesus is not to answer the question, what is God's will or what is God's plan for my life? The goal instead is to walk with God by a moment-to-moment basis, day by day. And if you do that, you will be exactly where God needs you to be at every single moment of every day. You don't have to know the destination. In fact, if you did know the destination, you'd probably jump out of the car. Good Lord knows I would have. I can't handle the truth. But I can be obedient just in this one moment today. I can just do that one. I can't do the rest. Too big for me. Too much. Too much pressure. Just obedient this one moment. And that's it. The point is to walk with Jesus. And if we walk with Him, our lives are swallowed up into His own. And when that happens, we go the right way. I believe that God is calling you to this journey of purpose and meaning. And the car door is open. And there are no destination travelers needed. The door is not open for you to walk in and say, "Are we there yet?" But it's an invitation to come into the car and experience the roadside diners and the roadside attractions and the bumps and the bruises and the broken down cars and the hitchhikers along the way and everything messy and glorious about a road trip. Because it's amazing and it's mysterious. And in our closing song, I want you to hear this song as an invitation to the road trip, an invitation to the journey, an invitation to choose today to start walking with God. Maybe it's time to like daily be reading your Bible and spending some time in prayer, or to recommit yourself to, as you do that, to surrendering all aspects of your life to Him. As you feel the need to change, you make the adjustment because the Spirit is leading you to that. And to trust God in every moment, day by day, moment by moment, in just this one choice you have to make. This is an invitation.